Love Talk Radio.
Radio. Yes, it's good to be here. I was having a few little technical problems just before I thought I'm going to have to phone in, but just my Skype just managed to kick in, guys. Once again, I'm panicking just before the show starts, but yeah, but at least we're back and that. I see we've got our co-host, Kel. Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox. She's there. So let me bring Kel in. Kel, you're live.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Oop, now I'm live.
You're live,
how are you
you're
doing
well
today? You had trouble getting in with your Skype.
Yes, I did a little bit for some unknown reason. I don't know. It just wouldn't, I kept clicking it and it just didn't want to know. It's just looking back at me. But it finally, when I was a bit persistent with it, it then kicked in. Thank goodness, I thought, all these things.
Yeah, that happens with a lot of people who use Skype with a Blog Talk Radio, because Blog Talk Radio is telephone to telephone. It's not Skype to telephone. And so a lot of people tend to get kicked when they use their Skype. Blog Talk Radio, they've got to fix that.
Yeah, didn't you say that they're working on that or something or other? Also,
yeah.
I don't really have too many problems. I've got to admit, I call into other people's shows, as you know, and I use my Skype, and I don't seem to have too many problems, just a couple of seconds, little things you've got to do. But it's normally really good, I've got to admit.
That's right. It just seems to be an occasional thing, but I know when I used my Skype once when I was doing my show, I was kicked and I didn't realize it, and people could not hear me, couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah, so once again, guys, thanks for joining myself and Kel for the East Angus EDL radio show. So I've got some little segments. I've got one that I'm going to play once again, which I had a couple of people ask me if I'll possibly play this again. It's called Fail Is Not an Option. I think you liked that segment as well, didn't you, Kel? So I will play that. Yeah, so this is, as I say, I had a couple of people ask me today if I would play it again. So I said, yeah, okay, no problem. So I uploaded it again, as you do, Kel. So there you go. And also, guess what? We got Mr. Condell. I've got a couple of segments of Mr. Condell. One's called Halloween Burger, and that is absolutely hilarious. And I've got, this is one of his late ones. So Pat, thanks, because I had a look in at what you've done. And this was about 5 days ago. This is another one called American Dimmy. That's an up to pretty up to date one. So and of course I've got the applause there as well, so that we can give Pat a little applause at the end as well.
Yeah, we sure can.
So how's your day been today then, Kel?
It's going well. Been reading the headlines in the newspapers and reading some stories and just paying a little more attention to what's going on with the Olympics, and also paying attention to how Mitt Romney is doing over there in England. And, he's not doing too well, isn't he? He was in a meeting with the Labour Party leader. What's his name? Ed Miliband?
Yes.
And he forgot his name.
Ed Miliband is one of those people that you do tend to. What's your name, mate?
Yes, so Mitt Romney referred to him as Mr. Leader.
I would have just said, all right, geezer.
Mr. Leader.
Yeah, I like it. So that went down quite well. Oh, well, we all make mistakes. We're only human, aren't we? So, this is it. Sometimes you need to be a little bit. He should have someone whispering in his ear, shouldn't he? That's what he should have done. But
I know a lot of people are really going on about him, but Barack Obama, when he first started out, he was absolutely abysmal as well. He didn't even know what date it was when he was signing a guest book in England.
He still don't count. nothing's changed with him. He just made things worse, isn't he? You know?
I know. But I guess England, they're calling, what are they calling Mitt Romney? America's Mr. Bean.
I love it.
A lot of people are rather insulted by that because they love their Rowan Atkinson, and Mr. Bean is actually highly intelligent.
Oh, that is such, I didn't know that. It's the first time I've heard that comment, and so I've been a little bit out of the loop in what the paper's been saying. So thanks for that. That little snippet has given me a good laugh there, Mr. Bean. Oh, I like that. That is so good. Better give the number out for the listeners, don't we, Kel? Yes, if you've got Skype, guys, you can just click on your Skype. But if you've got a call in, if you call in outside of the US, the number to call is 001-858-777-5934. I repeat, 001-858-777-5934. So there you go. So we have to do that. Let the listener.
There we go.
I tried to do that religiously now at the couple of minutes, maybe 5 minutes into our spot or what, and just make a little announcement. So if you want to call in, please do. There's always something that you probably want to get off your chest, and this is the right place, isn't it, Kel?
It sure is.
And also, we're looking forward to Sunday with the spokesman for the Swedish Defence League, aren't we, phoned in as well. So that should be interesting as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I know you are, Kel. It should be interesting. It should be an interesting thing. Sometimes it's always best to, don't mention the full names. I don't, myself, I think it's only best to leave a little bit of anonymity.
Right, you are. I just scratched it out. I don't know. What was his last name? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
nobody heard that.
Yeah, I mean, I never sort of mention. I normally mention people's first names and that, and I leave the you know, like the surnames out normally, but that's okay. But yeah, as I say, I'm really looking forward to. I said, being my first interview as such, but yeah, be very informal. You know, the guy come in and we just have a chat about things, and it's nice to make people feel comfortable. You know, because we got nothing to worry about with us, if they care. we're easy going for everybody, aren't we? So it's yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll be having some other great guests on as well in the near future. So yeah, so guys, if you want to ring in, please do. Be always nice to hear your opinions and that, you know, with things we talk about. So
Oh, and so just for levity's sake, that's actually not even his real name. So there you go.
That's right. You know. As I say, a lot of people sort of just have you know, pseudonyms, like you know.
Yeah, well, do people really think my real name is Cal Fritzy? Like,
there you go. You know,
I would have killed my parents
nice
if they had made me that.
Well, I think, you know, my name is out there already. I mean, but I won't, you know, just people know me as Jeff. I'm normally, you know, on here it's NoSurrender_EDL. You know, my show name is such, like. But people know me, you know, me as Jeff, and that. So, you know, I don't mind. It's easy. It's easy way to do things, isn't it, Cal? Yeah, I'm not sure what we should. What segment should I go for? One of Pat's.
Yes, because I'm really curious to listen to the one you were talking about. Which one is it?
Halloween
Burka or American Demi?
Yeah, it's we'll take your pick, actually. I'll tell you what, because I listened to them both. I do find Halloween Burka, it's quite funny. So maybe we'll go with that one. What do you reckon, girl?
Yeah, let's get that one a go.
Okay, where's me? Yeah, there we go. I've got it right there, ready to go. So here we go, guys. I hope you enjoy this. As I say, once again, this is Mr. Pat Corndell unleashed once again upon the pseudo. Go for it, Pat.
Well, we're coming up to Halloween again, the time of year when we like to put aside our troubles for a few hours and celebrate all things dark and evil. And if you like to dress up in ghoulish outfits on Halloween, and if you're looking to wear something a little different this year and something truly evil, then forget about the zombie masks and the vampire teeth. Go the whole hog and get yourself a burqa. The Islamic cloak of death has to be the ultimate Halloween garment, if only because it's so versatile. You could fit it with a pair of bat wings, that would look rather good, or you could simply carry a scythe to represent death, of course. I think both ideas would work very well. Or, if you prefer something a bit more authentic, you could carry around a baby with rickets, or a sign saying, freedom go to hell, or USA, you will pay. The burqa is a remarkable garment in that it covers the face while allowing all the ugliness through. So, despite the anonymity it gives, you might just as well be sporting a big old gap-toothed pumpkin-headed grin with a light of demonic insanity burning from within. But you know me, I always like to look for the good in everybody and everything. And one good thing about wearing a burqa is that it will significantly reduce your chances of being raped on the night. And who can say that's a bad thing? It just goes to show there's good to be found in everything if you look for it, even in something as disgusting, degrading, and dehumanizing as the Islamic shroud of cowardly male misogyny and oppression. And by the way, I hope I didn't offend any Western feminists with that remark. I know how touchy some of you girls can get when anyone criticizes Islamic male supremacism. Of course, if you want to be really super safe, because we all know what men are like, you'd be even less likely to get raped if you went around inside a wooden box. You could put it on rollers so that your feet don't have to stick out in a provocative and licentious way. Although, on reflection, that might be taking things just a bit too far. Chances are you'll be perfectly okay with the mobile tent, but you might want to have a carpenter standing by just in case. Now, obviously, nobody wants to cause religious offence, so if you decide to wear a burqa on Halloween, you might want to distinguish your Halloween burqa from a regular Islamic burqa by decorating it with primitive supernatural symbols like, oh, I don't know, crescent moons, perhaps, something like that. Or you may decide that a skull and crossbones motif is more appropriate. It really is a blank canvas. I certainly hope the idea takes off, because I think Western society would be culturally enriched for a change if everybody went around in a burqa on Halloween. I think it would certainly help to lighten the rather creepy and sinister image of this alien garment if we took the annual opportunity that Halloween affords to openly mock and ridicule it as the clownish symbol of male stupidity and inadequacy it really is. And that would inevitably lead to greater mutual understanding, which is something I think we all want. And who knows, it might even persuade extremist Muslims to laugh at themselves. Well, there's a first time for everything. And why not? After all, everybody else is laughing at them. Surely it would be divisive and drive a wedge between communities if they were to exclude themselves from all the fun just because they've got no sense of humour. Peace. If that wouldn't be too much trouble.
That's the first time I heard that as well, so yeah, I'm pleased that.
Oh, I knew you'd like that.
Brilliant. Thanks for talking out.
Oh, what a great, once again, Pat Condell, I'm standing up, sir, I'm saluting. And
yeah,
what he's talking about, the burqa, that reminds me of what happened here in Canada. Did I tell you about this? I don't know if
I'm not sure.
I think I talked about it on my show not too long, last week or something, but I was the 14-year-old boy here in Toronto who dressed up in a burqa and went into the liquor stores.
Oh, I think you did. You see, it reminds me of what you did.
That's right.
Yeah,
that was David Menzies, the Benzoid from Sun Media. He asked a 14-year-old boy, can you please put on this burqa and a pair of sunglasses and see how far you get in the liquor stores? And, oh, yeah, he was served. Nobody asked him for ID. They thought that he was a female. And they were too politically correct to ask for ID. Now, this 14-year-old kid, he's not very big. He does look like he could pass as a tiny Muslima. But nobody asked him for ID, and he managed to go to three separate liquor stores and buy three separate bottles of booze, which, of course, David Menzoid confiscated from him promptly.
Oh, my word. That just goes to show you that people are sort of, you know, someone comes in with a burqa on, they're just letting them have the drink. They're not questioning them or not. And this is really bad, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. That's a kid. Kid that could put ideas in other children's heads. We can do that. That boy got away with it. We can buy boots. Can you imagine it? This opens up the floodgates to young, impressionable kids out there to do that sort of thing. So the liquor owner, the people in them shops, you wake up, you know, because you'll be getting yourself in serious trouble. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, of course, everybody is slamming the sun. And they're calling for him. He should be arrested for exploiting the 14-year-old boy for his little experiment.
No, he was making a point, wasn't he, Kel? This is the thing about it. He was making
that point.
So it's all
well,
on him slamming it, but he's
across.
Made that point.
It got across, and it made it all the way up to the Premier's office, Dalton McGuinty. And, of course, Dalton McGuinty is a real boob. He's a liberal. And he was saying that, oh, well, we've got to do something about this. And I'm shocked and surprised that this happened. And everybody in the national dailies in the comments section, they were all going, wow, Dalton is surprised again. Well, gee, golly, go figure. Well, Dalton, this is something we've known for years.
Exactly, Kel. Exactly. Also, you know, talking about the sun, I don't know if you've seen Michael Coren dressed in a full burqa.
Have
you seen that? I was trying to upload it. I couldn't upload it for the show.
I watched that. That was just, yeah, that wasn't too long ago. Oh, I should have uploaded that too.
It was
brilliant.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you know, our Michael Curran, bless him. He'd done his show, about, I think it was a 10-minute segment that he'd done. Who was the gentleman
that
he was interviewing? I know he's having a little bit of a pot at him, wasn't he, sort of thing. And he was dressed in a full burqa. All you could see was Michael's glasses, couldn't you? It was totally hilarious.
And that was him defending David Benchoit too. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious. I thought I had to mention that when we were talking about the burqas and that. It's a bit of a theme at the moment, isn't it? So
maybe I can find it.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. Maybe I can.
Okay, Kel, that's lovely. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, if you want to call into the show anytime, please do. If you're connected up your Skype and that, press the button and we'll bring you onto the show. Okay. If not, the number to ring in is at 001-858-777-5934. I repeat, 001-858-777-5934.
So
there you go.
I found the clip. And he was interviewing Imam Steve Rockwell, who's another Birkin Imam.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I could probably play it from here because I usually can play things through my speaker and the sound quality is usually pretty good. Do you want me to give it a try?
Yes, please. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear that. Go ahead.
Okay, because it was it's a really good clip, guys. It really is something else. You've got to hear this. So want me to play it now then?
If you want, yes, please, Kel. Unless you want me to play a tune before you play it, it's up to you. Are you ready to go with it?
Oh, no, it's your show. Whatever you want to do.
Let me see. No. You play it, Kel. You play it. That's okay. And then we'll go into a little. We'll play a little tune and then move on to the next segment. So yes, please go ahead, Kel.
All righty, here we go, guys.
We have the. Hi. I'm Michael Curran. You can probably tell that by my hair. Well, that's not fair because I'm pretty bald, actually. Now, the reason I'm speaking to you dressed in a voluminous black tent is that this week sees the start of a wonderful new television station in Egypt. For women, by women, with women. All female, all the time, dealing with women's subjects. I think my job at Sun News is secure, but, you know, one is never sure. So I'm recording this audition tape, really, for the Egyptian Women's Channel, just in case. As the old Hamas proverb goes, there's more than one way to skin a Jew. So I'd like to say a few words on why this network is so very necessary. We need it to discuss, well, you know the sort of thing, when is too late for that little operation on the clitoris so as to make sexual pleasure impossible, sometimes performed, in the Islamic world at least, with any sharp instrument that comes to hand, or how to avoid being stoned to death after you've been raped because it's never the man's fault, or what to say to your husband, to hubby, when you just can't get along and you've tried so hard with wife number four, or how to bring that touchy subject of your daughter not being allowed to leave the house, see a doctor, or go to school. You know, so a little like Cosmopolitan for the post-Arab Spring Middle East, I suppose. As you know, because the liberal reporters in the West told you so, once the evil dictators were removed, and in the case of Colonel Gaddafi, sodomized and murdered, we all became free and incredibly happy. Now, I know that some of the crusaders, the infidels, the Zionists, and the rest, say that women are oppressed in the Muslim world, but it's just not true. And if you say it again, my husband will cut off your head and record the whole thing for a video that will go viral within the jihadist internet community. And what a community it is! Party on, as the young people say. Well, the boys anyway, because if the girls say anything, well, beat them to death. Our men quite right assume that women are not dressed like this. Women who are not dressed like this, sorry, it's quite difficult to speak through a tent, the women who are not dressed like this are whores and bring rape on themselves. Now, just recently, a Canadian brother, bless him, made this entirely clear, and praise him for his courage. Even non-Muslim women, yes, there are such things, at least for the time being, have to cover themselves when we have a majority, you know. Just look at those glorious examples of Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan. Honor killings never happened. Just lies and propaganda from the Zionist-controlled media. Girls forced to marry their first cousins who are twice their age. Well, yeah, but your point is what? What's the problem here? It's makeup and fashion that incarcerate women, not stoning, circumcision, having to dress like this, and having no basic rights. You in the West, you think you're liberated and free, but you're blinkered. Your eyes are covered. You're in the dark. Oh, hold on, that doesn't really work, does it? Anyway, the station begins in Egypt, and so does my new career. Now, keep watching, because if you don't, we're going to kill you. So, you heard the monologue, a new TV station in Egypt, for women to discuss women's issues, and all of the women who are on air, who produce, who direct, who research, the camera people, they're all women, and they're all completely covered. And we thought we'd get an expert on to talk about this, Imam Steve Rockwell. He's a controversial figure, but he's a good fellow. He joins us by phone. And welcome to you, Steve. How are you?
Very good. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Michael.
Well, I hope that's true. Now, let's talk about, there are some differences, some of the semantics people aren't aware of. There's the burqa and the niqab and the hijab. What are the differences?
The Quran in Surah Nur emphatically requires Muslim women to wear the hijab.
Yeah.
The wives of the Prophet and the pious are told to speak from behind a veil. Now, this can be interpreted as a niqab. The burqa is not really required in Islam, but some people, it's more tribal than Islamic.
Right.
However, let's take everything into context and to the events on the ground, to the reality on the ground. Most people don't have a problem with the hijab. I mean, you see the face of the person, you identify the person, and nobody complains when a nun wears a hijab. So they don't call it a hijab, but that's what it is.
Well, it's not, but anyway, carry on.
Okay, and it is like this, Michael. If you're on the beach and the women dress in bikinis, nobody takes a second look and go, wow.
Well,
I frequently do. But generally, it's a scene on the beach.
Okay, let's deal with what you first said. First of all, a nun is a vocation. There are sadly not many today, but women choose to be a nun. They don't request and require, demand that other women dress in such a way. But let's talk about the full covering, because I mean, I've been going to the Middle East for, oh golly, now 35 years, and it was very unusual to see it in the past, but now it's really quite common. Have you ever worn the full covering, the burqa or the niqab? Have you ever actually tried putting that on?
Men are not required to do that.
No, but why are women then?
That is tribal.
Right.
That's tribal. Let's label it what it is.
Okay, but Steve, let me ask you, because you're being very fair here, but... why is it then that so many countries, now we have, Egypt has just been apparently liberated.
Yes.
The Arab Spring.
Right.
They have one women's TV station and all the women have to be completely covered. Why are women covered and not men?
Okay. This is God's law. Like, why do women in the Catholic Church, the nuns, why do the nuns have to wear that head covering?
They don't.
And they do.
Well, Steve, I'm sorry. You can't just say that cheese is a melon when it's not. They don't. Most Catholic nuns don't.
Nuns wear a head covering.
Well, you're simply wrong, Steve. Yeah, once again, you've got things wrong. It's not true.
Come on, Michael. Nuns, have you ever seen a nun without a head covering?
I've hardly ever seen a nun these days with a head cover, Steve. You're way behind the times. But you're digressing terribly here and you've got your information wrong.
No, I think you're twisting the facts.
Okay, well, these are facts that you're making up, and they're simply untrue, and most people would know this. Nuns were covered, certainly, in the 50s. Today, most nuns are not, but it's not the same issue because they volunteer to be nuns. In Egypt, if you want to work for this TV station, you have to be completely covered.
That's their policy.
But is it right or wrong?
If you want to work, nobody forces you to work there. And if they want to work there, these are the reality. If you want to work at Tim Horton, you wear their uniform. You want to work at Starbucks, you wear their uniform.
The same. Men and women wear the same uniform. Why is there gender separation? Why is there gender apartheid in this land, though, Steve?
Hold on just a second. We pray in separate rooms, and people say that gender apartheid.
No, I'm okay with that. I mean,
let's take everything into context and not extrapolate and go off on tangents here. The women pray separate from men because the way we pray, the women, if a woman, a shapely woman, bows down in front of you, you're not thinking about God anymore.
Not off, of course you're not. No, but Steve, I have no problem. Look, I may not agree with you, but I think if Muslims want separation of genders through in prayer, some Orthodox Jews do as well. That's up to you. This is about saying to people, all women, irrespective of religion, in Iran, for example, a Christian woman has to cover her head. You have to be covered. You can't have a formal education. Female circumcision.
That's not true. Come on, come on. A lot of Iranian women are very highly educated.
Yes, some of them are, yeah.
Yes, so your argument falls apart.
They're also stoned to death for adultery, and if they're raped, they may well be executed for being a rape victim.
Look, in the days of Jesus, they used to stone women for adultery.
Well, that was 2,000 years ago, and I think you'll find that what Jesus said is, if you're completely pure, you can do such a thing, but if you're not, don't be a hypocrite. So Jesus brought us love. Islam seems to bring us a very strict law that's quite draconian and pre-medieval.
No, you see, we have a few minutes on your show here. Mm. I think you and I should have a public debate whether Islam or Christianity is fit to lead the populace today.
Right. And is it okay if I mean, what I'm wearing now, can I wear that for the debate as well?
You can wear whatever you like to
Marvelous.
The debate.
Marvelous. So you will debate me dressed as I am now.
You would. Are you accepting my challenge?
Yes.
That's
you accepting mine? Marvelous. Marvelous.
Yes. And I think, Michael.
Yes.
It all depends upon the context.
Right.
Sometimes, if a woman in Islam is required to wear the hijab.
Yeah.
No exceptions. Nobody forces you to be. There's a verse in the Quran that nobody forces you to be a Muslim.
Really?
If you want
You've got that wrong a lot over the years because you're forced to be converted
people
over the world.
In chapter 2, verse 286, La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion.
Yes,
religion
I know. But it says in the charter everyone has equality of freedom of speech. We don't observe that either, Steve. You've forcibly converted people for the last 1,300 years. Anyway, sir, I appreciate you coming on the show. As always, a great pleasure. You take care of yourself. Thank you.
You're welcome, Michael. Have a great day.
Bye.
Brilliant.
And there you go.
He's great. He is really great. I think Michael Cron is super. You know, I should have given him the applause little snippet there, shouldn't I, really, for that. That was a great little interview he had with that guy there as well. There you go.
I'm going to love that applause button.
That is great, isn't it? I hope you like that, guys. You know, little applause for a little segments like that. We done it especially for Pat Condell, didn't we? Really, that's what we talked about. It was good to have listen a little applause now and again, isn't it, Kel?
What
was that? I was going to say something. I uploaded something today. Bruce Springsteen's No Surrender. So, you know, because I've got my nickname here is No Surrender _ EDL. So, should we play that? Should we play that tune, No Surrender?
I think we should.
Yeah? Why not? Here we go.
Perfect.
Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's No Surrender, Bruce Springsteen. There you go. That was Bruce Springsteen. No retreat, no surrender. It's very much what we the UDL says. Oh, excuse me, guys.
Oh, I've been like that too today. It's because the air is so thick here with the humidity. It's like I feel like I can barely breathe at times.
Oh dear. Oh, excuse me. I must just move
myself. It's just the humidity. It'll pass. Oh, we didn't lose you, did we? Oh no, you're back.
No, it's okay. Yeah, so no, I just muted myself because I just needed to clear my throat. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I do. That's why I love
that. Isn't it?
Yeah, I call my mute button on my phone my cough button so that people don't hear me.
Yeah, because it does happen.
But it
yeah,
happens. And it happens when, yeah, when you talk a lot, too. I mean,
yeah, and I do.
Your throat gets very dry very quickly. Yeah.
I talk for England.
I never shut up.
I know, I'm the same, Kel. I'll tell you what, I've got something in it. It's a Get Wilder. Get Wilder was in America a while ago, and he made a statement, and I was wondering if I should read this, because I read it, and I thought, do you know what, our listeners might like to listen to that, because it was it's
mm-hmm.
really... It's right there, and I think the listeners will like it. So if I can see if I can get to the page up there. Speech, Get Wilders at the Western Conservative Summit. So, and that's I'll give you the full thing. So it might take a few minutes, guys. Okay. As I say, this is a speech, and I'll start it just exactly how we said things. So. And this was on the 30th of June 2012, guys. And it says, thank you, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, for inviting me to the Western Conservative Summit. It's always a pleasure to come to America. I was here a few weeks ago to meet with my dear friend, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, to talk about Islam and the threat to America and Europe. It is also a pleasure to be in Denver, the gateway to the West. This is America's conservative heartland, where the spirit of pioneers still lives. I know that I come at a sad moment. Many of you have been affected by the enormous wildfires raging not far from here. Thousands have been evacuated, and some of them are even staying in this hotel. Few things are as terrible as losing your homes. I want to express my deepest sympathy with all the people affected by this disaster. And I want to offer my condolences to the families of those who lost their lives in the fires. I'm impressed by the solidarity and the help which the people of Denver extend to the victims. You live in a great and generous city. Denver is also privileged to be home of Colorado Christian University and the Centennial Institute with its motto, Faith, Family and Freedom. Your motto shows that you have your priorities right. Faith, family, and freedom are the pillars of our Judeo-Christian civilization and need to be defended. I'll just take down the page a little bit, guys. I feel honoured to have been invited to address you today about the situation in Europe and in particular in my own country, the Netherlands. This situation serves as a warning to what might happen to America if you fail to be vigilant. As US President Andrew Jackson said, remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. But first, let me start by introducing myself. I am one of the 150 members of the House of Representatives in the Netherlands, a small country of almost 17 million people in Western Europe. I am the leader of the Party for Freedom. My party is the third largest of 11 parties represented in the Dutch Parliament. Perhaps many of you think that life for this politician in the Netherlands resembles the life of the members of your own Congress. Unfortunately, that is not the case. For the past 8 years, I have been living under 24-hour police protection wherever I go. Plainclothes policemen go with me. I live in a government safe house, heavily protected and bulletproof. I am driven from safe house to the Dutch Parliament in armoured police cars with flashing blue lights. I have not walked the streets on my own in the past 8 years. When I occasionally go to a restaurant or a movie theatre, the police will have to check everything first. My wife and I have lived in army barracks and prison cells just to be safe from assassins. Why do I need this protection? I'm not a president or a king. I'm a mere parliamentarian. I have, however, been marked for death for criticising Islam. I was placed under police protection in early November 2004 when an Islamic fanatic murdered the Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh because he had criticised Islam. Van Gogh was slaughtered in broad daylight in the streets of Amsterdam. A few hours later, the police found a letter written by the assassin threatening to kill me as well. What I have done, you might ask, to deserve these death threats? I candidly expressed despair with me, guys. My views about Islam. My views, in a nutshell, are that Islam, rather than a religion, is predominantly a totalitarian ideology striving for world dominance. I believe that Islam and freedom are incompatible. Some people don't want to hear this message. That is why they threaten to murder everyone who states the truth, this truth. I'm not the only one who's been marked for death. The British author Salman Rushdie, the Scandinavian cartoonist Kurt Westergaard and Lars Vilks have all been victims of assassination attempts. However, if you really love freedom, you have to speak the truth. If not, we will fall victim to Islam. Like earlier, the people in Middle East, North Africa, Persia, India and Indonesia fell victim to it. That is why I spoke, why I speak and why I will continue speaking, whatever the consequences. I do not want Europe nor America to become Islamic. Before I continue, I want to make clear that I do not have a problem with Muslims. There are many moderate Muslims. I also make a distinction between the people and the ideology, between Muslims and Islam. There are many moderate Muslims, but there is no such thing as moderate Islam. There is only one Islam, and it is dangerous ideology. It is intolerant. It is violent. It should not be tolerated, but should be contained. Just bear with me, guys. Should be clear. Sorry about this. In Europe, we are experienced that if Islam became stronger in a society, even when the majority of Muslims are moderates, a society becomes less free and more intolerant of non-Muslims. Former Congressman Tom Tancredo, a native inhabitant of this great city, whom I visited in his office in Washington in late 2008, once said, referring to Miami, I quote, "Look at what has happened to Miami. It has become a third world country. You would never know you're in the United States of America. You would certainly say you're in a third world country." End of quote. The same applies to Europe. Certain parts of our inner cities no longer look like Europe. They look like suburbs of Cairo, Rabat, Algiers, Damascus or Mecca. As the Muslim population is concentrated in urban areas, many European cities have very large Islamic concentrations. We are confronted with headscarves and burqas, polygamy, female genital mutilation, honour killings. During the past three decades, Europe made a fatal mistake. It allowed millions of people from Islamic countries to immigrate into Europe. So many people rooted in in a culture entirely different from our own Judeo-Christian and humanist tradition have entered Europe that our heritage, our freedoms, our prosperity and our culture are in danger. perhaps many Americans still believe that Europe is the place they know from a tourist trip or from their grandparents' stories. This Europe is on the verge of disappearing. In each of our cities, wrote Italian author Oriana Fallaci shortly before her death in 2006, there is a second city, a state within the state, a government within the government, a Muslim city, a city ruled by the Quran, end of quote. And I've moved down the page, just bear with me guys, I say it's quite long, my apologies, but it's well worth listening to. Perhaps many Americans see immigration as something which is inherently good for a country, since it contributed so much to the United States. But while most of the former immigrants to the United States come from Europe, a continent with the same Judeo-Christian roots as America, Europe's contemporary immigrants do not share our common roots. On the contrary, the Islamization of our society is undermining our Western Judeo-Christian values. I'm not talking about the threat of terrorism or violence. There is also the phenomenon of non-violent jihad. Europe's increasingly assertive Islamic lobby has successfully pressured European politicians into implementing pro-Islamic policies and adopting elements of Islamic Sharia law. The number of people who organise their lives according to Islamic requirements is growing, especially among young people. Among 15-year-old German Muslims, 40% consider Islam more important than democracy. Among Muslim university students in Britain, 40% support Sharia. One in three of those students consider it legitimate to kill in the name of Islam. The rise of Islam also means the rise of Sharia law in our judicial systems. In Europe, we have Sharia wills, Sharia schools, Sharia banks. The introduction of elements of Sharia law in our societies creates a system of legal apartheid. Sharia law is systematically discriminates groups of people. I'll give you some examples. Britain has official Sharia courts. One of these courts settled an inheritance dispute involving a man whose estate had to be divided between his children. It gave the sons twice as much as the daughters, in accordance with the Quranic pronouncement that a woman is only worth half a man. In my country, the Netherlands, Sharia is being applied. I know it's hard to believe, but sadly it's true, by the Dutch courts. This is a disgrace in our civilization. Men and women are treated as equals before the law. Just bear with me while I go down the page a little bit. Before the law. Be aware that this is only the beginning. If we do not stop the Islamization, we will lose everything. Our identity, our culture, our democratic constitutional state, our freedom and our civilization. In Europe, we are already losing the right to free speech, the right to criticise Islam. What we need, my friends, is a spirit of resistance. Resistance to evil is our moral duty. This resistance begins with expressing our solidarity to all Christians, all Jews, all non-Muslims, all Muslim apostates, all people who are victims of Islam. We can see what Islam has in store for us if we watch the fate of the Christians in the Islamic world, such as the Copts in Egypt, the Maronites in Lebanon, the Syrians in Iraq, the Christians elsewhere, such as the brave Christian people in Nigeria. Almost every day, churches are arsoned and Christians are assassinated in Islamic countries. Even so-called moderate countries, such as Turkey and Indonesia, Christians face discrimination and humiliation on a daily basis. The cause of all this Christian suffering is Islam. Rivers of tears are flowing from the Middle East, where there is only one safe haven for Christians. Indeed, the only place in the Middle East where Christians are safe to be Christians is Israel. This is why Israel deserves the support of Christians worldwide. Israel is the canary in the coal mine. If Israel cannot exist in peace, none of us can. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It is a safe haven for everyone. It is a beacon of light in the era of total darkness. If Israel falls, we too will feel the consequences. As a matter of fact, Israel's fighting our fight. Mothers in the West can sleep safely because Israeli mothers at night worry about their sons in the army. We all are Israel. We should support Israel because Islam's so-called holy war against Israel is a war against all of us. In March 2008, I released Fitna, a 15-minute documentary about the Quran and the threat of Islamization in the Netherlands, while at the time I was invited by Senator John Kyle to show Fitna to colleagues in the US Senate. The screening of my movie was banned by the European Parliament. The British government even barred me from entering the United Kingdom on the day that I was invited to show Fitna in the House of Lords. Later, he did in there, though. He's allowed to show it in there. Later, in 2008, leftist liberal and Islamic organisations in the Netherlands brought me to court over Fitna. They accused me of group insult and incitement to hatred and discrimination. I was prosecuted for merely stating my opinion about Islam. Fortunately, I was acquitted on all charges, but the legal ordeal lasted almost 3 years. Imagine a Member of Parliament having to deal with 3 years. That is an enormous cost of time, energy and money. The court ultimately acquitted me because I'd criticised Islam, not Muslims, and because as an elected politician participating in a public debate, I was entitled to greater freedom of speech than everyday citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, it's important that we realise how the West got into the present situation. I think I'm stuck, Kel. I might be stuck here, so... I'm stuck. My page is stuck. Oh, dear.
It's certainly a great speech.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't finish it all. It's just my page has got... I'm stuck, actually, myself, Kel, so... oh, just a minute. got a few technical problems. My page just actually froze on me, and that just happens now and again, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that happens to me, and I hate it when that happens because you are in the midst of something, and all of a sudden, oh, freeze.
But yes, it was coming to the end. There was a few little bits I wanted to mention, but as you see, ladies and gentlemen, it was a powerful, powerful speech, and there was a few little bits that I did want to mention, but as you realise...
Oh, yeah. And, that, of course, it happens all the time. And actually, did I just lose Jeff? Oh, I lost Jeff. Looks like I'm doing the show on my own until Jeff comes back. We're just trying to get him to continue. But if everybody can hear me, well, I guess I'm solo at the moment. So Jeff will try to call back in, but that's okay. I will keep things going until he gets back on board. Now, I actually have something interesting here, and I don't know exactly how verifiable this is because it seems to be only a headline, but it appear that Ajim Chowdhury has apparently been banned from protesting at the Olympics. So that's interesting. I like hearing that. So I hope that's true. Adam Chowdhury is a real beast of a man. So, I'd like to see him out of England altogether. But until we wait for Jeff to get back, maybe I'll take us to a bit of a break. And let's see, what do we have here? I have all sorts of things here. Oh, well, Let me see. I believe that we had a clip here. I'm not too sure where to go. Oh, my goodness. This isn't even my own show, guys. But here's a clip here. Let's see. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take us to a song. And I know that everybody likes this one. So there we go. Let's play this one.
Marching on through the rain, the soldiers have to regain their strength and have to maintain their stamina, 'cause this is no game. There's people out there dying and people back home crying, so let's support them in each and every way that we can. Land, sea and air, raise your hands and salute the soldiers if you care. To wear a medal upon your chest, you need to be a warrior. And all our boys are fighting for every single one of you. And wish for world peace, so we can get all of the troops up off the streets. Stop the civil wars, stop the people fighting for a cause. Let them go back home to their wives, sons and daughters. Respect to all the soldiers who are fighting out there. There are many people in the world that just don't care. We all should support them like they support us. Army, Air Force, Navy, and the paratroopers. The population increases, most of the infantry shot to pieces. Terrible things are happening with gases and diseases. Let's work together in honor of the country now and forever. So let's support them in each and every way that we can. The troops are larger than life, right? Back and you walk like a soldier for life. Never back down, always track down the opposition with my Mac now. And that's how the message gets delivered. I figured, 'cause people are living with all of the bombs getting triggered. We're all hating these days, trying to think of ways to get out of this messed up trade. Respect to all the soldiers who are fighting out there. There are many people in the world that just don't care. We all should support them like they support us. Army, Air Force, Navy, and the paratroopers. Salute the Sergeant Major, sir. Stand up straight and don't stare. On the battlefield you may glare at the enemy, 'cause it's dangerous out there. Each platoon are brave enough, standing tall and men are tough. So let's support them in each and every way that we can. Hold on, soldiers, the sergeant's on the case. Fall in now, let's get back to the base. Each and every soldier from the UK and the States, get back to the barracks, see what we have to face. Fall in, troops, I have something to say. The troops in the field were all blown away. They were killed in the line of fire. Grab your guns and get going is my only desire. At this moment in time, there are people fighting for peace, fighting for women, children, youth, me, and the people all over this world. And let's not forget the people who have died, past and present. Respect. Respect. Respect.
Hey Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Kel. I had to ring back in. It just won't pick up again, so I give up on the Skype, and I thought, well, you know, I better dial back in.
I was like, oh no, he's gone. I'm here alone. It's not even my show. What am I going to do? But I did up something that was interesting. I read something, but I can't sure if I can verify it, but apparently Ajim Chowdhury, he's been banned from protesting at the Olympics.
Oh, well, that's good. That is good to hear anyway. It's good to know at least there are people know that he's only there to stir up trouble. And, it's too big a thing for people like Angie Chowdhury to go spouting their hatred in front of people. They don't need to hear it. They're there for their for the games.
They're not there to listen to
hate-filled speeches. No one's really interested. So let him go in his little corner somewhere, spout to, or go in his little, because, you know, he's on Pal Talk Room. He's got his own room, Pal. Let him go spouting his hatred off in his rooms and do what he does. But, you know, it's not the place for him to go. There's no place for him to go.
Absolutely not. He does not belong. Well, he doesn't even belong in England. And that's what I was saying to your listening audience and people who are listening to Archive, is that this man should be banned from the country. He should be. Where did he come from? Like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, believe it or not, I think actually he done a lot of drinking. He's done a lot of things when he was a younger man. I mean, all you see now, he's talking about Sharia this and that. Talking about drink. He was one of the biggest, and we call it, don't mind something that's often brought. He's a right piss head.
Yeah.
He was into drugs. He was into everything. Our engine. You know, all of a sudden he's found his Islam and he's found his new goal and, you know, full speed ahead. That's what it was with him. And there's been lots of stories about Anjan Chowdhury, you know, there's people, you know, there's lots of different things, but, it's hard to speculate exactly. But we know what he's all about, stirring up hatred. He's creating religious hatred. I think five of the people arrested were converts of his. So, you know, I know we should really start to shut him down, basically, because, you know, people like him create these monsters out there. That's the trouble. You know, because he won't go and do the dirty business. If you notice, these imams are quick enough to tell their followers, yeah, you know, do this and do that. But you won't see no imams going and strapping bombs to themselves and doing things like that. You never hear that. When's the last time you heard of an imam doing that? They don't do it. They send their minions out to do it, don't they? I know.
Yeah, he's just a real piece of work. And actually, I also have something else here that might be of interest to your listeners, and that is that the Olympians, they're being fed halal meat without them even knowing it.
Yes, that was a story that have you got the story there? You can maybe read to the listeners there?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I'm scared to bring mine up because I'll get thrown myself off again.
Let me bring that bad boy up. Yeah, Christian Olympians, they get Islamic halal meat. And I'm just bringing it up. Come on, baby. Don't let mama down. Yep, Christian Olympians, they are getting Islamic halal meat. The London 2012 Olympics, they're leaving a bad taste in the athletes' mouth since they found out that the British assured food standard is 100% halal. Now, this is a deceit and a hypocrisy of the UK supermarket chains and slaughterhouses, which, while boasting the Britishness of their product, surreptitiously purvey halal meat to the general public and the Olympic teams. Now, we all know what halal is, right? That's the Islamic method of religious slaughter, whereby a live animal has its throat slit whilst being blessed in the name of Allah. Now, this is a big complaint amongst many in the Olympics. For example, like Hindu athletes and Christians from Spain, Russia, and Denmark, they would object to this, as well as Christian athletes from the United States, seeing as the Islamic prayers said while the animal is being slaughtered are also passages from the Quran, which the 19 terrorists were reciting when they brought down the World Trade Centers and while they were slaughtering people in Spain, Russia, and Denmark and other places. Now, there is a suggestion that they advise their athletes to, this article, we strongly advise athletes to ask their team coaches for non-retractor meat or 100% guaranteed non-halal meat, which can be brought from farm shops and small local butchers, or they should stick to pork.
Yeah, I agree.
Now,
I agree.
Fair is that? And that is my beef. This is what I, oh my goodness, Jeff, I went off on a tangent like, it was a little while back, and I was talking about it on my show, and sorry, I'm speaking right into my phone here because I want to put the link up for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Command V, there you go. I put the link up for people to read on their own later on.
Okay.
But this was my real beef. In Canada, we have Campbell's soup. Campbell's soup is highly popular, and I love Campbell's soup because it's a very premium soup. And if I can get a can of mushroom soup on sale for 69 cents, well, you know, this kid is laughing and happy.
Yes.
But I started buying this soup, and I noticed that there was this little black mark on it.
Oh, really?
I thought, well, what is this? So I investigated it a little further. It turned out that it is halal blessed soup by the Islamic Society of North America.
Oh, dear. Well, there you go, Kel. Just goes to show you they got their fingers into everything, haven't they? And,
Yes.
Oh,
and so I phoned Campbell's, and I said, what is this? How come you are not telling us that we are consuming halal products? I'm not a Muslim. What's the deal with this? Well, you know, the spokeswoman I spoke, you know when you phone in and you get the, hello, welcome to Campbell's, and can I help you? This call may be recorded for quality purposes. Well, I got one of those. And I was actually very polite. I said, I noticed that you have this little black mark on this. Is this halal? Is this a halal product? And she, well, all of a sudden she didn't know. And I said, well, it is. It's Campbell's. They are selling products, halal products, and they're unbeknownst to the consumer. And what is Campbell's going to do about it? How come there's no campaign? She told me to F off. She was married to a Muslim, and she had no interest in talking to me.
Oh, really? Oh, well, we'll have to start banging the drum about Campbell's soups now that they are sort of trying to hoodwink the public into they're doing how Campbell's soups now. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you've got a little, is it a little black spot you got on the top of your tin that says that?
Yeah, well,
they
changed it again. Now it's a little green spot, and it's being approved by another organization, Islamic organization. They keep changing things around, but there is, let me see, maybe I can find it. I would love to see if I could find it.
Well,
would
you tell the listeners out there, because, guys, you know, check your Campbell's soup now, because as you heard from Kel, this is what they're doing, you know. So if you feel strongly about halal and all that, I would definitely check that out, that Campbell's soup, because it seems like they are that the meat that's being processed is being done.
We go, and I found the link. Now what you'll find if you pick up a Campbell's product, whether it be their beef broth, or not beef, but their chicken or their vegetable broths, or their, like I say, tomato soups, mushroom soups, cream of broccoli soups, things like that, you're going to find what looks like a crescent. It's a white mark now, and it has a crescent, and it is certified by INFANSA now, which is Islamic Food and Nutrition Council of America. And
yeah,
I'll throw that link in there for people to read.
So
because this is maddening.
It most certainly is. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard what Kel's been talking about, with the soup, and if you're pretty, you feel very strong against halal, like I do, and like Kel, and like many of us, please check now, because it does seem like it's coming into the food, you know, into the food chain of Campbell's soups now. So there you go. Well, maybe you can get in touch with the main bosses involved in it, and maybe you can canvass and you know, about it, because, you know, or just buy another soup, guys, you know, just, That's the way to do it. If you're not pleased with them and they don't want to change their ways, then you just move to another product, guys. That's what I would say. I was going to say, I could normally give a mention to the chat room. As I say, I've lost the chat room, you know, when I broke my connection, got disconnected there, Kel. So if you could do just a little rundown of our good people that's in the chat, would be appreciated. Thank you. Thanks, Kel.
Oh, we had quite a few guests in there, and we had Azua in here, and we have Poppy in here. A lot of people had to run off because it's Friday. Well, it's Friday afternoon, and I suppose a lot of people are probably tuning into the opening ceremonies for the Olympics.
Oh, of course, yes, yes, it's the opening ceremonies and all that. No worries at all. It's about a lot of them will catch us
in the Well, you know Cass will.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's something we must do. This is for Kath. And I know lots of people like the tune, don't they? They really do. So it's only right that we play this. If I can find it. Oh, it's right down the bottom again, Kel. My list is getting longer and longer. So, okay.
And you're actually, you know what? You are down to 14 minutes.
Yes, I know the time. Can I say? The time just flies. It really does. And we've got the technical issues now. I'm sorry, guys, that I couldn't read right at the end of Geert Wilders' speech there, because it was to me, it was quite a powerful statement to people to be aware. This is what's happening around you. Islam is definitely trying to get a foothold, you know, wherever you are. It is doing its darndest. So be aware and stand up and fight against it. You don't need it. We love our freedoms, guys. Anyway, I'm going to play this anyway. This goes out to everybody, and I know a lot of people love this tune. This is The Voice by Celtic Woman.
And I hear you.
go. That's The Voice by Celtic Woman. As I say, the time's come down so quick tonight, hasn't it, Kel? Just to let you know and the listener, I'll tell you what, the show that we had last Sunday, guys, I think we've nearly hit 600, 500 and something or other. Many people viewed that, so that's just amazing. It's best I've ever had. It's fantastic. I'm so pleased. As I say, it just goes to show you there's a lot of people out there listening in. People tell people, don't they, Kel? And who starts listening in? And so we do try to mix things up. We do try to make the show interesting. Try to talk about all the aspects of Sharia law, Islamization, Islamist, the things that we think is very, very important to everybody and that. And also I'd like to just give a mention to the East Anglians as well. Actually, I can give a shout. There's a demonstration on the 18th of August at Chelmsford. So it's just a bit of a shout out to all the patriots out there. A demo on 18th of August at Chelmsford. Okay, guys? So, yeah, I thought I'd mention it because I wrote it down early because I noticed that they were talking about it. So I thought I'd give a bit of a shout to people down and listen to the archives and that. So, if only right. Also, not forgetting, we've got the Stockholm Conference, which is going to be a very, very important conference coming up. I think it's the 4th of August, and that's going to be very big. There's people like Pamela Gillam, Robert Spencer, European Freedom Initiative, Tommy and Kevin, and it's going to be absolutely massive. So I'm giving it a big one. Sort of building up for that. Because it is massive, so a lot of people have been speaking about it, so it's going to be big. So anyway, once again, I'd like to say so we haven't had no callers tonight, but never mind. It's just one of those things. As I say, there's a lot of people probably listening in to the Olympics, we're a little bit disappointed, aren't we, Kel? Because they didn't give a minute's silence, and which they should have done at the beginning for the.
No, apparently they didn't, and apparently the Olympic ceremonies they're on right now, so that's why it's so quiet around here.
So anyway, so guys, you've probably listened to us in the archives now, and I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. We've still got a few minutes. I had a technical problem where I had to use the phone. I haven't done that for a little while.
Well, I hope they do listen because they can hear me panicking. I lost my host.
Oh, no.
The host is gone.
Panic. You don't panic, Kel. You're too professional to panic.
I know. I was making jokes. It's like, okay, what are we going to do now? What's he got in here?
Yeah, there's plenty of little goodies there, isn't there, to dive into to cover it until, I managed to phone in and that. So, as I say, there was all something there. So, and we keep adding little bits, don't we, as well? So, it's very interesting. We haven't got a coffee machine in the studio yet, though, have we, Kel? We must get one of those.
Oh, that's funny.
Or a water cooler. That'd do you, Kel, wouldn't it?
That would be nice.
It's been very hot, hasn't it?
But it's been terrible. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. We've had a bit of rain today, actually, so it's cooled it down a bit overcast, but it's still warm at the same time, so I suppose we're going to have a little bit, maybe a bit of still. Oh, my goodness me. Did you hear something dropped out in the kitchen there? It could be my ghost
I've
got
that.
Here. So, yeah. Sometimes we find that, I've got a ghost here. I've got a ghost in my house. but no, it's probably the cat. As I say, we are getting down. Oh, crikey. I'd better start off with the Winds of Change. I'd like to thank everybody. Guys out there, the great listening audience there, thanks for listening in. And if you're not listening on the archives, once again, it's been my pleasure bringing the show, even though there's been a couple of little technical itches. It's my pleasure to to put a show together for you guys, you patriots out there that listens into our show. So once again, I'd like to thank you all. And of course, I'd like to thank my co-host, Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox, who's got a great show later on this evening. As I say, and I will be definitely going in and listening what Kel has got, because I love it when she goes on the rant, guys. She's brilliant.
I scare my listeners, but they always come back.
Of course they do, Kel. They love like hearing it. As I said, it's nice to hear people vent now and again. That's all it is, venting a little bit. We all get a little bit annoyed with things, maybe. You know, I feel like you can pull your hair out sometimes with some of the things that goes on around us, isn't it, girl, you know? But anyway, I'd like to, once again, I'd like to say thanks to everybody. As I say, going to play the Winds of Change. As I said before, the Winds of Change is happening. Slowly but surely, it is happening. So with that, as I sound down to the bear tax now, here we go, the Winds of Change.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night, Kel. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Finish on that music a little bit sooner than I wanted to do, guys, but as I've been counted down, so I thought I'd just finish it down. I'd like to thank everybody listening in, all the listeners here, there and everywhere, all the patriots. You take care, you stay safe, God bless you all, and of course, as we all say, no surrender. No surrender, ever.
No surrender, ever.
Oh, there you go. So I'm down to 10 seconds, and So, yeah, as I say, yeah, it was an interesting show tonight, Kel. I've got to admit.
It was.
You
did
know, got to, you know, as I say, being cut off like that, I thought it would just, it would kick me back in, but it didn't. And because I had a blank screen when I was just trying to finish off of Get Wilder's speech, because it was really quite, it was really good at the end, what he had to say. So, but it was a, how did I do? Did I present that okay? Did I? Sort of
you sounded fantastic, and don't worry, I didn't really panic when your call dropped. I knew it right away because I could see it on the switchboard, so I was just like, oh, he's gone. I'm all alone.
I
get to play with Jeff Joe.
Well, you know, you're welcome, as I say. And it was nice because when I did come back, and that you played a tune anyway, so that was great, Kel. So once again, thanks. That's what's so nice to have a co-host, because there's always someone there to, you know, we'll do this or we'll do that, and you know, you're just thinking on your toes, isn't you, Kel? So once again, thanks a lot. Once again, a great teamwork. As I say, time seems to go by so quick, doesn't it? It really
does. It
really
does.
And we, do you know what we did get? We wanted to play that the Dudley speech, and we never got to play the other Pat Condell. But we can use that for Sunday night anyway, can't we? So that's
absolutely.
No problem.
And that's the thing. It was great that we had that Michael Korn clip with that awful man Steve Rockwell. That was great that we had that.
That was brilliant. Yeah, well done, Kel. It's funny because I only see it today, and you had it there ready. That was just. A great minds think alike, they say, don't they?
Oh, I know. That's what Ellie and Beth and Pat, they say to me on In Defense of Freedom. Ellie says, Are you reading my mind? Because I was just looking for that link and I didn't have it, but there it is in chat and you put it there. Oh, yeah, I'm a link maniac.
That is great, Kel.
You give me my Google and I can find it, boom, usually like within a second.
Yeah, you're bang on there, ain't you? Wishing you're there and you got that brought up. Brilliant. But, yeah, I was just saying, we normally go on a show after this, don't we? And I've just noticed, is it called Global Affairs? I was like, I can't be what it's called at the moment. For the life of me, the one that's, is it called Global Affairs? GM? I can't remember which one it is that we normally go to, Kel. One we wasn't too happy with last week. The show, I'm trying to think. Can you remember what it's called, Kel? I can't remember.
Global Affairs?
Is it Global Affairs that we went to? I got there quite late, didn't I? I got there quite late when a few things have been said, so I was a bit late going on the show, wasn't I?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure, you know.
I probably said it at the beginning of the show, and now I'm having a brain freeze here. Lucky me.
But yeah, once again, I say it was you know, with the little things kept me on my toes a bit tonight with the little things that happened. Just, I suppose this is just technical problems, and you know, maybe a lot of internet traffic, blah blah. You know, just these things happen. But once again, Kel, like I say, thanks for such a great job helping out and co-hosting.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for adding me on as part of the team. I really enjoy being here.
Yeah, you're a great asset to the team, very much so as well, you know. So,
before I let you go, and I will in like less than a minute, I was listening to us in archive just to make sure there wasn't anything that I had to edit or do anything like that, because I like to do that. I was listening to myself, and remember we were talking about how we get nervous when we start, like it's 10 minutes before our show, and it's like we get those butterflies?
Yes.
Well, I was saying that I sit here with my head in my face and wondering what I'm doing, and I'm sitting here with nothing on. I meant on the computer, people. On the computer screen. I meant nothing on the computer screen. Yes, I wear clothes when I do my show.
Oh dear. I'm sure people really knew it, but I suppose some people used their imagination as well, didn't they, Kel? You know.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, scare them.
It was totally innocent remark, isn't it? But you think, oh, why did I say that?
Oh, I know. I'm sure people understood exactly what I meant, but the it
sounded so
funny.
And they probably all
had
a little chuckle as well, Kel. Do you know what I mean? I think it'd be a fault, actually. You sent me. Did you say you're egging your face, or was it a copy? It was funny.
Okay.
It was funny. Now, but that's you, Kel. That's you doing your own little bit, isn't it? You know, we're all human, but we're all say things that cracks our friends up and that and our fellows, you know. So it's all good, isn't it, Kel?
It is.
So, once again,
it's very good.
It really is. And I'm going to see you on your show in, probably about 3 hours from now. I'm going to probably have a flick around and check things out. And I'll probably see you in one of the other shows and that, Kel. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We sort of dive into other people's shows. And there's lots of great stuff on BTR, isn't there, Kel, that we like to go to.
There really is. And politics really conservative alone, there are over 840 shows. So you've got
amazing,
a lot to choose from.
It is. It really is. And there's some really, really great shows out there. And you know, sometimes, I can sit down before and up, I think, my goodness me, is that the time? Time goes so quick. And there really some really interesting shows. So, yeah, BTR is great. Blog Talk Radio.
It is.
So, it's really, really good. And I'm so pleased that I found Blog Talk Radio myself and like many others. So, there you go. So, this is a plug of Blog Talk Radio, isn't it?
There you go. Blog Talk Radio, they're actually pretty darn good. I just wish that they would widen the bandwidth for people who use Skype.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that'd be
annoying. That's the only complaint I have.
Because, but being cut with Skype tonight, you know, it threw me up.
Well, they're growing so big and so fast, they don't realize it. And I think that's what John Sweet is trying to do, is he's desperately scrambling. He's working so hard to make sure that BTR can accommodate Skype and more effectively.
Well, if it's growing, you've got to accommodate and you've got to make the right, you know, you've got to do the right moves to move along with everything, you know. It's only right, isn't it, you know, because, you know, the more the merrier, isn't it? The more people have more, the bigger it comes and, you know, the more listeners, et cetera, isn't it? That's what it's all about in the end, isn't it, Kel?
That's
what it is. The ratings,
exactly.
Et cetera. Anyway, I'm going to say once again, Kel, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm losing my voice. Yeah, you can hear me. I'm sounding like Squeaky Mouse. I'm losing my voice.
No, you're okay. You're okay. You're hanging in there like you do. You're a trooper. You're a trooper. Thank you so much, Kel. God bless you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say thank you to all of you out there who's listening and probably listening to the archive. As I say, that made our show, the East Anglians, as popular as it is, it's people like yourself who listen in for what we've got to say. And, you know, I hope you enjoy the things we talk about as well. So, once again, you take care and you stay safe. God bless you all. And as I all say, no surrender, ever.
Ever.
Okay, night, Kel, and I'll catch you a bit later.
Night, Jeff. I'll catch you later, too. And, yes. Thank you, listeners. Thank you so much for being here. We really enjoy what we do, and we really hope we're making a difference, and I think we are. Jeff, you have a great evening.
Okay, I'm going to end the show in a second. You know what we didn't do as well tonight? We should have played out with Ken Booth, but we can do that another night.
We'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll do that. Anyway, Kel, you go and have a nice drink, because I know you're a bit dry. You're like myself. I'll need a cup of tea myself. So once again, guys, we'll catch up with you Sunday. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a spokesman, Richard. He's coming on the show from the Swedish Defence League, so it'll be a really interesting show. So with that, once again, good night. Good night, guys. Take care. Stay safe. God bless. And once again, no surrender. Night, all. Night, Kel.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody.
Now, I'm ending it now.